Thanks, Tim, and thanks, Emily, for your sharing about your ministry as well. And if you manage to keep dry eyes through that, you might not through this one. So let me first start by sharing a little story. Once there was two teenagers. They lived in two different towns, and they both went to youth groups under the Church of the Nazarene. And as it happens, these youth groups tend to do a district conference and all to get together. So one year, they did a district conference in his town, where the guy was from, and they did a ski retreat. And right at the beginning of this retreat, as everyone was entering the building, this young lady yells out, "My name's Nicole. What's yours?" to the whole crowd. And the guy's brother, being the outgoing type, responded, "My name's Jeremy." And he snuck in a different door because that was too much crazy for him. So throughout the course of the event, because my brother being the outgoing type he is, he ended up introducing me to Nicole and her group of friends. And ended up, through a worship service, she sneakily snuck her hand on top of mine, letting me know that she was interested in pursuing a relationship with me. So obviously the conference ended, we went our separate ways, and through 11 months of MSN, I know that dates me, but through MSN, instead of doing the phone call, because our parents probably would have killed us with the phone bill, we began a long-distance relationship. After 11 months, her dad said, "Hey, you know, you can come to Victoria. We'll find you a place to stay, and you can start work doing construction and maybe eventually come into my office and work doing drafting as an architectural technician." So when I was 19, moved here to the island, amongst many tears from my mother at the ferry terminal. So moved to the island. Nicole and I continued dating until 2008. We got married. After, you know, a few years of having fun as two married couple, we decided, hey, we should have a kid. This didn't come as easily for us as it does for some. It took us 2 years to get pregnant. There's a lot of stress and a lot of things that come with that, obviously, and talking with specialists. But finally, the happy day came that we were pregnant, and we were overjoyed and super excited to have a little one on the way. Found out that he was going to be a boy, and we enjoyed every minute of it. Later on in the pregnancy, we found out the only issue, besides he was totally healthy, the only issue is that there's a little bit of extra amniotic fluid building up. And the doctor's like, "Oh, well, there's a handful of things that could cause this, and it's not really a big deal." So we started doing the process of testing. On Friday, on Saturday evening, we were over at, Sunday evening, we were over at my brother's place having pizza, and Nicole's water broke. So knowing that it's not too much of a panic, we did get to the hospital relatively quickly. Yeah, I'm getting there. You could come, you know. So, yeah, 30 weeks in 5 days, her water broke. And that evening was a very interesting one, that's for sure. Everything started to go fine. The doctor said, "Oh, it's not a big deal that he's early. He'll have some trouble breathing, but we can handle that. That's not a big deal." And we also realized that he was upside down, so we had to do a C-section, or as I like to call it, coming through the sunroof. So she ended up having a C-section, and in the operating room, I was up by her head because I didn't want to be down the other end. So I was in the operating room. He came out, and the room fell into a dead silence. as Malachi was not breathing. And it's very hard as a father, a new father, trying to comfort my wife, who's still being sewn up from surgery, and watching them do compressions on my son. Sorry. it's 5 years later, but it still is fresh in my mind. But after they quickly rushed him out of the room after doing half an hour worth of compressions on him, and they sewed up Nicole and we went into the recovery room, with tears in her eyes, she looked at me and said, "What do we do? How do we handle this?" And I said, "God doesn't give us anything we can't handle. If Malachi is going to pass tonight and we're not going to have him, we'll be able to handle that. If he comes home with us and has disabilities or whatever, we can handle that too." And she said, "Okay, we're going to trust him." And later that evening, we got the news that there was an 80% chance he wouldn't make it through the night. And so we sat and prayed with my mother. And later that evening, the doctor came in and said, "We gave him this drug called Bless, a very interesting name, and he is now 80% chance he's going to make it through, and only 20% chance he won't." So somehow we managed to find sleep that night, I don't know how. And in the morning, we got to see him in the incubator. I should have shown you a picture, but it's not easy for me to look at the picture still. So next morning we got to see him. He was 3 pounds, 14 ounces. If you put a washcloth on him, it looked like a blanket. He was a tiny little guy. And he was on full ventilator, so a machine breathing for him. And over the next 4.5 months of being in the hospital, we slowly worked back and forth, being on ventilator, not being on, working through the whole system of getting him breathing again. Also early on, he had, when you're in the womb, there's an extra section near the heart that actually circulates, so it bypasses the lungs, so that you can get circulated blood from your mother. Shortly after birth, that closes. On Malachi, it didn't. So his heart was under extra strain because it was circulating instead of using the lungs properly. So they had to go in when he was 4 weeks old and have heart surgery. So they went in through his back and put in a tiny little metal clip in above his heart. And to this day, it's still there. And after that, he actually started recovering much quicker. After that, we've had, I think June 4th will be his 5th surgery that we've done with him. Hernia surgeries, having to drop his testicles, all sorts of different things that we've had to do. And this next one with the hip surgery is coming up. I don't tell you this story to have pity on us or on my family, but just to realize that when you see families out there like ours with special needs, there's a story. There's a battle they've fought. There's a war that they are continuing to fight for their kids. So I often reveal seeing other families as a war veteran, as someone who's walked through a battle, just like we have. But in this weakness, in this state where Malachi is 100% dependent on us, and often people with special needs are very dependent on their loved ones, and honestly, all of us are only temporarily abled, if you think about it. We're all one accident away from being dependent on someone, our family, our loved ones. Or as we age, we become dependent on our family and our loved ones. So we're all just temporarily abled. And this is a really great reminder of how we should be with God. We should be in that state of being totally dependent on him for our actions, for what we do, our everyday lives. And giving that control over to him and relying on him. And Malachi for us is a constant reminder of that. This is where the verse Isaiah 30, verse 15 comes in. For this is what the Master, the Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. If you repent and patiently wait on me, you will be delivered. If you are calm, trusting in me, you will find strength. But you are unwilling. So many times in our society, we think that strength and being dependent on ourselves and being able to provide for ourselves is the way we should do things. And any weakness, any not providing for ourselves or anything like that is considered weak. But God shows so many times that in that weakness is where he is strong and he provides for us. And that is a way better way to be. The heroes of the Bible were not people who were strong to begin with. Moses was a murderer and a lousy public speaker. Joshua had confidence issues. Rahab was a prostitute. David was an adulterer. Jacob was a thief. Even Jesus, if you think about it, was disabled. He set aside his divinity as God and came down to earth in a disabled form to be able to be with us. So this is what this ministry is about, is showing people who are temporarily abled with the disabled how to live and how God wants us to be, as well as being a service and learning to serve people with disabilities. And in that weakness and in that brokenness is the strength we find in God. So just as closing, I probably went too short, but that's okay. So as we remember mothers today, let us remember our relationship with Jesus, and that it should mirror our relationship with our mothers as we were small children, in that we were dependent on our mothers. When you got a cut, when you got a bruise, you ran to your mother. And this is how we should be with God as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. I'm sure none of us mind a short message once in a while. I love how he chose that verse, because that verse was really impactful to me too. I'm just bringing it up in my own Bible from Isaiah 30:15. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it, which, you know, is such a good summary of human nature there. But as he says, I totally agree that God works through weakness. He shows his strength through weakness. And we've seen that all throughout the story of the Bible. And I think we've seen that in our lives as well. And thank you for sharing about that. We've heard some wonderful things today about ministries that care for those who are most vulnerable and most reliant and most in need. But Josh reminded us very clearly that none of us are any different, are we? In the grand scheme of things, we all need God's help. We're all ultimately reliant on him for our daily needs, as well as for salvation and hope for eternity. And you know, Jesus, after he filled a crowd's bellies with bread, right? He fed the 5,000, but they came back hungry after not very long, right? In the very same day. And he told them that though they were not satisfied by that bread, he said that he was the bread of life and that they need to feed on him to be truly satisfied forever. Only God's love shown through Jesus' life can satisfy our hearts and assure us that we are precious. Only God's forgiveness shown through Christ's death for our sins can free us from the guilt and shame that we experience and death. Only God's power shown through Christ's resurrection can give us hope in eternal life and the ability to change in our lives now. And however, at times our hearts can turn to other things that don't satisfy. We can turn to the wrong things. Our pride can prevent us from admitting our need, and we can rebel. We seek independence from God rather than relying on him and finding what we need in him. So before we partake of communion together, I invite you to take a moment to reflect and to invite God, the God who loves you, the God who made you, to show you if there's any way that you've been seeking other things instead of him, or if there's any ways that you've been too proud to admit faults, or if you've been trying to rely on yourself without him. If so, simply acknowledge it to God in prayer and give it to him, knowing that it's not best and that he has something better for you. And that, of course, he forgives you because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us. Let's take a moment to pray and to consider that. And then as the worship team leads us in the next song, you can come forward when you're ready and take and eat and drink in remembrance of him as a declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ, in his free gift of grace, not in your own worthiness, not anything else in the world but him. That in him you find your identity as God's child. In him you find your freedom from sin and shame, and you find your source of life and hope for eternity. Let's give thanks as the worship team comes up. Father, we thank you that you have made each of us precious in your sight and unique. We thank you that though we sin and turn from you, you've offered a remedy to that problem by sending your Son to die for our sins and reconcile us with you. We thank you that we can approach you freely and without shame because of your great love for us. And as we partake of this bread and this cup together, please fill us with your Spirit. Nourish us and strengthen us for the journey ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.